This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, and thanks for staying with us. I'm Chuang, joined by Xiaoning and Philip C. Now, we all know that COVID upended the economy and our lives in various ways, but many have also touted the pandemic as a great reset, which it is. Can we use that to reset the business landscape, though?
Yeah, so a recent article published by Bank Negara Malaysia echoed a similar sentiment. In particular, it emphasized the need to attract high-quality investment and drive innovation-led growth, as well as what reforms Malaysia needs to undergo in order to achieve that.
Now, the central bank also highlighted steps taken by the government in this direction. And in fact, even Bank Negara itself has established a financial support measure called the High-Tech Facility National Investment Aspirations in order to help innovate SMEs to remain competitive in the global supply chain. But what more needs to be done? And what might be some of the barriers in the way?
To answer these questions, we have on the line with us Azam Wan Hashim, a researcher at IDEAS, the think tank. Good morning, Azam. Now, as part of the national investment aspirations, these investments need to be targeted towards knowledge-intensive high-tech activities. Our question to you is this a misnomer? Because isn't that already the case?
Well, morning, guys. So the answer to your question is it's both yes and no. I mean, the focus on high-tech, knowledge-intensive activities in our development priorities has relatively only been a recent development. Prior to this, the priorities were, you know, towards creating high value added activities, trying to develop our position in the global supply chain while creating as much value add in the final product domestically. And, you know, even before that, the priorities were about transitioning from an agriculture-based economy towards manufacturing, heavy industry. So today, this priority in knowledge intensive and high tech activities is happening in the context of both internal and external development. So internally, it's to do with our aspirations to graduate from middle to high income status, and the next step in the developmental ladder is towards this high tech industry. Externally, of course, there's global trends as we've been talking about all morning, which point to the digital economy as the driver of growth and development. So, in order to capitalize on this, Malaysia will have to focus on high-skilled and innovative activities. But we can see, actually, that this focus is still at its nascent stage because we haven't yet identified the specific kinds of knowledge and high-tech activities that we want to invest into. We're only beginning to see signals from the government towards biotechnology, agrotechnology, for IR-related technologies, but these are still, at the infancy stage. And we see some pockets of high-tech and knowledge-intensive industries in developed states like Selangor and Penang, but it's quite sporadic. We haven't really seemed to identify or attract these industries in a strategic, concrete, and systematic way. So I'd say that this clarity in our investment strategy, you know, it becomes even more important as you look at the increasingly competitive environment for attracting investments that's happening regionally.
So Azam, let's just take a step back. High tech doesn't mean high value add, right? And that's why it's so important to pick the right sectors that really, truly value add. Isn't there a risk that we put all these funds and incentives and they really don't create incremental or small value for the country?
Well, that's the thing. Usually high tech industries means that the product has a high level of complexity. So there's a lot of studies out there showing that high economic complexity of a product will result in higher effects on growth and higher effects on the levels of income. So, you know, these high complexity activities means more interaction with the supply chain. So you can think, for example, in investing in high-tech sector, for example, a microchip processor. You can think of the number of different industries it requires to build one microchip processor. You need the raw materials, rare earth metals, you need the machinery, the robotics, the optical technologies, the different components from different manufacturers. You also need the skills and the talent taught in universities after you engage with logistics companies. So you can see that these high-tech and high-complexity products have intensive supply chain linkages, and the activities within that industry lead to the growth of these sub-industries, leading also to the development within the supply chain, greater innovation, specialization, competitiveness. So your question is quite important because the other side of that priority of high-tech industries is also trying to contain as much as possible this supply chain intensity domestically, so that the multiplier is contained within the borders. So, you know, it's great to have high global supply chain integration. It's even better if the domestic supply chain intensity is strong, so that when the industry with high complexity grows, it also grows all these other industries within the chain.
Now, but Azam, I have a very preliminary and basic question, and you alluded to that earlier, and that is the lack of clarity. And I'm also thoroughly confused because we seem to have many policies running simultaneously. At the moment, of course, we're waiting for the next Malaysia plan, but we have things like My Digital, My Jendela program. Is that adding to the confusion in terms of what our direction should be?
Well, that's a good point. I think the thing is that all of these policy developments and incentives need to happen all at the same time. You know, they can't occur in stages. The pace of development in this field is so rapid that you need to add to the development priorities all simultaneously. So, for example, investment incentives like tax breaks, for example, they've been used to attract investments, but you know, like investors abroad are really looking into the robustness of institution, a ready pool of high talent, a strong and robust political system that can withstand changes from these are some factors that we need to consider strengthening. So these are kind of like the regulatory basics, but you know, we also need to ensure at the same time that there are the foundations in place that act as enablers of high-tech industry and digital industry, which includes initiatives that ensure that we have adequate infrastructure for digital activities, that ensure that we have high quality of human capital. This is absolutely crucial. And of course, from the consumer side, we also need to have promoting activities that increase the level of digital adoption, for example, to create that market demand. So all of these things need to occur simultaneously. I do understand that making that clear is obviously going to be a challenge for the government. I think there's always been this kind of communication issue. So that's something that needs to be addressed. But you know, you can't isolate one activity. They all need to happen at the same time.
The other thing, Azam, related to this is, of course, when you look at the number of government agencies or ministries involved, it also adds to the confusion. I mean, we seem to have MAJIC, MIDA, MITI all involved. Would it help if it was actually just parked under one agency so that everybody would like be able to figure out, okay, this is the agency to talk to or the ministry to talk to?
So it's that's an ongoing debate, but I think the reason why the debate is swaying towards centralization of activities is because there's a lack of interagency cooperation. In the view that specialization of certain government agencies in conducting different aspects of promoting the digital economy, for example, is something that is legitimate. Perhaps some agencies are specialized in attracting investments while others are specialized in incentivizing research and development. Others are trying to provide a sandbox for new innovative technologies. The issue here comes about when there is a lack of interministerial coordination. So that is incredibly crucial to get right, especially because, as we've seen, the My Digital Blueprint does include a whole of economy approach. It includes many ministries and many agencies that need to work together, often on the same initiative at the same time. So effective implementation of these initiatives requires a lot of interagency cooperation.
Okay, thanks Azam for your time. That was Azam Wan Hashim from Ideas, the think tank. Now, lots of stuff to unpack there, but you know, just in cursory terms, one gets the view that from a framework perspective, Malaysia is over frameworked. We're over blueprinted, right? The choke point comes in the people, the quality of the people that work in our country, the kind of people that work at the top echelons of the relevant institutions without naming names. And then, of course, there's the interagency cooperation, which is by and large non-existent. So all this delivers a lot of confusion to the targets investees. And then when they look around the region, you know, and they look at a country like Singapore, which has by and large got its game sorted out, it's a bit of a no-brainer, you know what I mean?
I just think you really don't need to throw money into this. If capital markets are available and if the case is strong, you don't really need financial incentives really to drive this forward. The basics are necessary. Clear policy, good inter-ministerial people. Coordination, human capital. Why don't you just fix those stuff instead of creating more financial incentives? Because if they were really good businesses and there was a really case for it, capital markets should be able to provide most of it, I suspect.
Yeah, money is efficient. Money finds its the home in its best possible abode. And, you know, you don't want to be putting money in a non-returning
place. And it's
place.
Something we did ask, or we are asking our listeners this morning on our BFM Twitter poll. We asked, what is the main barrier to innovation in Malaysia? And there were four options. Bureaucracy is the one which most people voted in at 65%. Poor education is 20%. Lack of incentives is at 8%, and others was 7%. So pretty much echoing the view what y'all two just said, that innovation, if it's truly there, will find funding quite easily. After all, everybody wants to make money, right?
Yeah, yes. I have a very interesting point, which is I don't think, you know, there's this whole chase for creating the next unicorn. And Azam, I think you made a point, let's create a supply chain where the value add is created.
Malaysia's albatross perennially. Okay, we'll come back after this with the news, and then after that, Roshan talks to the European unicorn, Wise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.